There was an awful lot of that in the tabernacle and how it was put together, and all the offerings, etc., in the Torah. But I'm not going to speak on that because I think it speaks for itself. And to be honest, I cannot, how do I see something I've never seen. So when it's all written down like that, it's all, I have no idea what goes where and how it goes, because I haven't seen it literally, because I am a literalist. So I'm going to go from, not much point in speaking on something that confuses me. No point. So I'm going to go to the Kedavah HaShalakim, and I'm going to speak on Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 to 14 that we did in our reading. And I'm going to speak on the precious blood of Yeshua. And to me, I'm going to allow the scriptures speak, do most of the talking. I'm going to be speaking, but I'll be reading a lot of scriptures, as you've probably noticed in the newsletter. But I'm going to start reading from Messianic Jews, Hebrews 9 to 1 to 14, which we've already read once, but I'm going to read to you again, just so that you can get a full understanding of it and where I'm coming from. Because it mentions the first covenant of the temple and all the sacrifices, and then goes on to the renewed covenant of Yeshua and what his sacrifice means. And it's his sacrifice that is most important. So the first covenant had both regulations of worship and a holy place here on this earth. A tent was set up, the outer one, which was called the holy place. In it were the menorah, the table, and the bread of the presence. Behind the second paroket was a tent called the holiest of place, which was the golden altar for burning incense and the ark of the covenant entirely covered with gold. In the ark were the gold jar containing the man, Aaron's rod, the sprouted and the stone tablets of the covenants. And above it were the cherubim, representing the Shekinah, casting their shadow on the lid of the ark. But now is not the time to discuss these things in detail. With things so arranged, the Kohanim, or the priests, go into the outer tent all the time to discharge their duties. But only the Kohen HaGadol, that is the high priest, enters the inner one, and he goes in only once a year on Yom Kippur. He must always bring blood, which he offers both for himself and the sins committed in ignorance by the people. By this arrangement, the Ruach HaKodesh showed that so long as the first tent had standing, the way into the holiest place was still closed. This symbolizes the present age and indicates the conscience of a person performing the service cannot be brought to the goal by the gifts and sacrifices he offers, for they involve only food and drink and various ceremonial washings, regulations concerning the outward life imposed until the time Yehovah to reshape the whole structure. But when HaMashiach appeared as the Kohen Gadol of the good things that are happening already, then through the greater and more perfect tent, which is not made man-made, that is, it is not created of this world, he entered the holiest place once and for all. And he entered not by the means of blood and goats and calves, by the means of his own blood, thus setting people free forever. For if sprinkling ceremonial unclean persons with the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer restore the outward purity, then how much more the blood of HaMashiach, who through the eternal Ruach offered himself to Yehovah as a sacrifice without blemish, will purify our conscience from works that lead to death, so that we can serve the living Elohim. The only person that could have laid down his life and been that ultimate sacrifice was a person that was without sin. Now, I believe Yeshua was without sin. What do you believe? Do you believe he was a sinner? Some say he was hung on the stake because he was guilty of sin. others that he was an alcoholic, a homosexual, or a liar. But therefore, he must be a sinner. Others say he drank the cup of sin when they tried to make him drink the wine offered to him when he was on the stake. Ha-Satan hates the purity of Yeshua HaMashiach. Why? Because a sinful world threw everything that it had at Yeshua, and he still did not sin. When Lucifer was in heaven, before sin existed, there was no devil to tempt Lucifer. He still could not live for Yehovah. Even when things around him were perfect, there were no trials, there were no tribulations or temptations, but he wasn't satisfied. He wanted to be equal with Yehovah. And there was no excuse to fall, but he failed and he fell. So now he tries to run one smear campaign after another on Yeshua. He tries to infiltrate our ranks with a message that Yeshua was less than pure at his death on the stake. But we are not buying Hasatan's lie. He is a liar. He is the father of lies. And there's absolutely no truth in him. I believe the opposite of truth is a lie. And the opposite of a lie is a truth. I think you can't have a half-truth. A half-truth, in my opinion, is a lie. We cannot destroy the fact that Yeshua died as a spotless lamb. He was without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And I'll tell you how I feel about it. His death, when the last breath was expelled and he gave up his ruach, Yeshua was spotless. He was pure. He was holy. He was without blame. He was beyond accusation or reproach. He was a lamb for sinners that was slain. He was a scapegoat for each and every one of us. He bore our sins, not his own. And he was the innocent sacrificed for the guilty. The blood that he shed was indeed the most precious blood that ever existed. In Acts 2:24, it says, "But Yehovah raised him up and freed him from the suffering of death. It was impossible that death could keep its hold on him." Why did death have no hold on him? Because sin is what death used to hold men captive. But Yeshua knew no sin, so death had no charges to hold him with. Being sinless, that is the key to overcoming death. It overcomes hell and the grave. Those who go in sinless will rise at the resurrection of Yeshua as his first fruits. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 to 15, it says, "Watch out so that no one will take you captive by means of philosophy and empty deceit, following human tradition which accords with the elemental spirits of the world, but does not accord with HaMashiach. For in him, bodily, lives the fullness of all that Yehovah is, and it is in union with him that you have been made full. He is the head of every rule and authority. Also, it was in union with him that you were circumcised with a circumcision not done by human hands, but accomplished by stripping away the old nature's control over the body. In this circumcision done by HaMashiach, you were buried along with him by being immersed, and in union with him, you were also raised up along with him by Yehovah's faithfulness that worked when he raised Yeshua from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, that is because of your foreskin, your old nature. But Yehovah made you alive along with HaMashiach by forgiving all of your sins. He wiped away the bill of charges against each and every one of us. Because of the regulations, it stood as a testimony against us. But he removed it by nailing it to the execution stake. Stripping the rulers and authorities of their power, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by means of the stake. Yeshua did not go to the stake alone, because he spiked fast to his stake were our sins, my sins, even before I committed them. He took them on himself. He had no sin of his own. He had to take ours. And while Hasatan thought he was making a show of Yeshua by crucifying him on the stake, Yeshua was spoiling his principality, but he didn't know it. Yeshua was standing in the gap for each and every one of us. Yeshua was and is the middle man that intercedes for us daily. He went where no sinful man could go. He mediated the gulf that was between Yehovah and sinful man when sin entered in Adam and Hava's transgression in the garden. He became the mediator of a new covenant or renewed covenant. In the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, man was made captive by sin. But in the Kedavah HaShelekim, the writings of the apostles, Yeshua proved that a man without sin could not be held captive by death. Hasatan could no longer control the outcome. Had Yeshua gone to the grave guilty of sin, he could not risen. He could not have risen from the dead and triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. Death could not hold him. The grave could not contain him. Hell had no dominion over him. And because he was willingly nailed our sins to his stake, he triumphed over the curse of death for us. He provides us with the victory. And we have to stand on his word and believe it. Because that, without believing him, we have not got salvation. In 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 58, it says, "Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting?" The sting of death is sin. And sin draws its power from the Torah. Not from the Kedavah HaShelekim, it takes it from the Torah. But thanks be to Yehovah, who gives us the victory through our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, so my dear brothers, stand firm and immovable, always doing the Lord's work as vigorously as you can, knowing that united with Yeshua, your efforts are not in vain. Hasatan made a big mistake. He tried to kill the one and only Yeshua at Golgotha. He thought he could have dominion over him in the grave, just like he had over everybody else. But because Yeshua knew no sin, he rose from the dead. And now, when we repent, as the scriptures say, we receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. And when repentant people are immersed in water, and the name of Yeshua is called over them, they, at that point, and only at that point, take on the family of the name of Yeshua. You can say you believe in Yeshua, but you need to be immersed and die to the old self and rise again in Yeshua to be truly saved, because his bloodline is pure. The blood of Yeshua that was shed for our sins washes away our sins with that immersion. Soon after to Golgotha, Hasatan had a dilemma. He thought he'd eliminated the Yeshua problem when he crucified him on the stake. But 3 days later, he rose again from the dead, triumphing over it. And a few weeks later, on the day of Shavuot, 120 more people became like Yeshua. Now, Hasatan's really in a pickle. Soon, 3,000 followed, and then another 5,000. I'm sure that if the count was there today, it would be in the billions. But you and I are born anew, are hell's and Hasatan's greatest dilemma. He doesn't know what to do with us. You that have been born again are hell's greatest fear, because it knows that you are so close to slipping out of its clutches right now. Hell wants to grab you and take you there. In Romans 6, verses 3 to 9, it says, "Don't you know that those of us who have been immersed into Yeshua HaMashiach have been immersed into his death? Through immersion into his death, we were buried with him, so that just as through the glory of the Father, HaMashiach was raised from the dead, likewise we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we've also been united with him in a resurrection like him, like his. We know that our old self was put to death on the execution stake with him, so that the entire body of our sinful propensities might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For someone who has been cleared from sin. Now, since we died with HaMashiach, we trust that we also live with him. We know that HaMashiach has been raised from the dead, never to die again. Death has no authority over him. And death will have no authority over us. As you know, we usually hold our immersion ceremony in the Feast of Dedication, which is usually in December. And our immersion is in the name of Yehovah through Yeshua HaMashiach, believing that as you go down, you die to self, going under the water and resurrected with Yeshua HaMashiach coming out, and also being blessed with the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit, coming into you and changing you into that new creation. So who was Yeshua really? Well, let's start with the primary commandment to the Yah of Israel. I'm going to let the scriptures speak, not me, as we can only use Yah's word to speak the truth and life into being. In Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 and 5, you know this very well, it's the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad. Hear, O Lord, God of Israel, the Lord Yah, the Lord is one. And you are to love Yehovah, your Elohim, with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your resources. Echad in Hebrew means the plurality of one. Okay? So Bereshit is Reshit is one, but Echad is one. Echad means the plurality. So when we think of the plurality, we think of Yeshua and the Father, Yehovah, being one. If two of them make one, that's the plurality of one. We are one in Yeshua. We are Echad in Yeshua, because we are connected to him. In Shemot, Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 and 3, it's the beginning of the 10 words. It says, I am Yehovah, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the abode of slavery. You are to have no other Elohim before me. We are to have no other gods. Yeshayahu, in Isaiah 42, verse 8 says, I am Yehovah, that is my name. I yield my glory to no one else, nor my praise to any idol. If we put anyone else or anything else above Yah and Yeshua, then we're entering into idol worship. In Yeshayahu, Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3, it says, But now this is what Yehovah says, He who created you, Yaakov, he who formed you, Israel, don't be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I am calling you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. The flame will not burn you. For I am Yehovah, your Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour, that is Yeshua. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Sivah for you. And in Yeshayahu 43 verse 11 it says, I am Yehovah. Besides me, there is no deliverer. When it says Yehovah, it means the Echad of Yeshua and Yehovah together. This explains why we immerse in the name of Yehovah through the death of Yeshua, as this verse explains. And Yeshua and the Father are one. But it is through Yeshua's death and resurrection that we have all our sins washed away. It had to be through the blood, the precious blood of Yeshua. In Yeshayahu 44 and verse 6, it says, thus says Yehovah, Israel's King and Redeemer, Yehovah Zevaot, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no Elohim. The first and the last is the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. In Yeshayahu 44 and verse 8, it says, don't be frightened, don't be afraid. Didn't I tell you this long ago? I foretold it, and you are my witnesses. Is there any Elohim besides me? There is no other rock. I know of none. Who is the rock? Yeshua is the rock. Yehovah is the rock. Yeshua is the rock. They are one. In Yeshayahu 45, verses 5 and 6, it says, I am Yehovah, there is no other. Besides me, there is no Elohim. I think Yah keeps repeating himself. I think he's trying to get a message across. Okay? He's trying to get a message across. Well, he does that when he repeats himself. I am arming you, although you don't know me. So those from the east and those from the west will know there is none besides me. I am Yehovah. There is no other. And in Yeshayahu 45, 21 to 22, it says, let them stand and present their case. Indeed, let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago, announced it in times gone by? Wasn't it I, Yehovah? There is no other Elohim besides me. A just Elohim and a Saviour. There is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am Yehovah. There is no other. And in Matityahu, I haven't forgotten the Brit Kedavah Shalakim. In Matityahu chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, it says, here is how the birth of Yeshua HaMashiach took place. When his mother Miriam was engaged to Yosef before they were married, she was found to be pregnant with the Ruach HaKodesh. Her husband-to-be Yosef was a man who did what was right, so he made plans to break the engagement quietly rather than put her to public shame. But while he was thinking about this, an angel of Yehovah appeared to him in a dream and said, Yosef, son of David, do not be afraid to take Miriam home with you as your wife, for what has been conceived in her is from the Ruach HaKodesh. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name his name Yeshua, which means Yehovah saves, because he will save his people from their sins. All this happened in order to fulfill what Yehovah had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they will call him Immanuel. That means El is with us, or God is with us. When Yosef awoke, he did what the angel of Yehovah had told him to do. He took Miriam home to be with his wife. He did not have sexual relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Yeshua. In Yeshayahu Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, for a child is to be born to us, a son is given to us. Dominion will rest on his shoulders. He will be given the name Peleg Yoetz, that is, Wonder of a Counselor. El Gibor, Mighty God. Avi Ad, Father of Eternity. And Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace. In Acts 20:28, it says, watch out for yourselves and for all the flock in which the Ruach HaKodesh has placed you as leaders, to shepherd Yehovah's messianic community, which he won for himself at the cost of his own son's blood. And in 2 Corinthians 5, 7-19, it says, therefore, if anyone is united with HaMashiach, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Look, what has become fresh is fresh and new. And it is all from Yehovah, through HaMashiach, who reconciled us to himself and was given us the work of that reconciliation, which is that Yehovah in HaMashiach was reconciling mankind to himself, not counting their sins against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. In Yochanan Chon, chapter 14, verses 10 and 11, it says, don't you believe that I am united with the Father, and that the Father united with me? What I am telling you, I am not saying in my own initiative. The Father living in me is doing his own works. Trust me that I am united with the Father and the Father is united with me. But if you can't, then trust because of the works themselves. In Yochanan 10 and verse 30, it says, Yeshua says, I and the Father are one. And in chapter 14 of Yochanan, verses 8 and 9, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be enough for us. And Yeshua replied to him, have I been with you so long without you knowing me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? And in Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, it says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come Yehovah's victory, power and kingship, and the authority of his HaMashiach, because the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them day and night before Yehovah, has been thrown out. They defeated him because of the Lamb's blood, because of the message of their witness. Even when facing death, they did not cling to life. Now, some people trust in Muhammad. Some trust in Allah, Buddha, Krishna. Some trust in self. Some trust in nature, the gods of the Hindus, and I can assure you there are many. Some in nature, the sun, the moon, the stars. Some even Rome trusts in Mary. But we trust in the name of Yehovah Yeshua, HaMashiach. His precious blood hides a multitude of sins. In Acts 4, verse 12, it says, there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by whom we must be saved. If Yeshua was simply a man, then what happened to him was murder. What happened to him was martyrdom, and they took his life from him. But if he was Elohim, which I believe he is, was and is, what happened to him was an offering. It was a sacrifice that he made for each and every one of us when he laid down his life for us. The blood on the doorpost was redeeming blood. The blood on the altar was atoning blood. The blood on the leper was cleansing blood. The blood on the Torah scroll was covenant blood. The blood on the Kohanim or priests was consecrating blood. The blood on the mercy seat was pleading blood. The blood of Yeshua was and is precious, living, saving blood. The first Adam did not have to sin. The second Adam, Yeshua, had to not sin. The precious blood of Yeshua is the only antidote for the venom of sin. Think about it. If we calculate how many litres or gallons of blood were spilled when Shlomo dedicated his temple, and yet it could not decrease one sin stain. It couldn't remove one single stain. But the blood of one man, Yeshua HaMashiach, covered a multitude of sins for all mankind. In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, it says, in union with him through the shedding of his blood, we are set free and our sins are forgiven. This accords with the wealth of the grace. Ephesians 2:13, it says, but now you who were once far off have been brought near through the blood shedding of HaMashiach's blood. And in Colossians 1:14-20, it says, it is through his Son that we have redemption. That is, our sins have been forgiven. He is the visible image of the invisible Yehovah Elohim. He is the supreme over all creation, because in connection with him, we were created all things. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, lordships, rulers or authorities, they have all been created through him and for him. He existed before all things, and he holds everything together. Also, he is the head of the body, that is the messianic community. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, so that he might hold first place in everything. For if it pleased Jehovah to have his full being live in his Son, and through his Son to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace through him, through having his Son shed his blood, by being executed on a stake. In Kefa Aleph, 1 Peter 1:18-19, you should be aware that the ransom paid to free you from the worthless way of life which your father passed on to you did not consist of anything perishable like silver or gold. On the contrary, it was the costly, bloody, sacrificial death of HaMashiach as a lamb without defect or spot. And in Messianic Jews, Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a Kohen Gadol unable to empathize with our weaknesses, since in every respect he was tempted just as we are, the only difference being he did not sin. Yeshua did not drink the cup of sin. This is not scriptural. There's no way he could have drunk the cup of sin. 1 Corinthians 10:21. It says, you can't drink both a cup of the Lord and a cup of demons. It's in there. You can't partake in both a meal of the Lord and a meal of demons. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, Yehovah made this sinless man to be a sin offering on our behalf, so that in union with him, we might fully share in Yehovah's righteousness. We have to make sure that this we understand that this does not mean that he sinned. In fact, it plainly says he knew no sin. But Yehovah made Yeshua to be the scapegoat for our sins. This was the cup of suffering, the innocent slain for the guilty. In 1 Corinthians 11:25-26, and I'm going to finish with this. Likewise also, the cup after the meal, saying, this cup is the new covenant affected by my blood. Do this as often you drink it, as a memorial to me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Are there any questions? No? Then we might move into the remembrance ceremony, service, and drink and take of the cup and the bread, which represents the precious blood of Yeshua and his body.